Welcome to Table Talk, a place for honest conversations and getting to meet friends. I'm Betsy Thompson, and I'm here with one of my very sweet dear friends, Lori Cole.
Thank you, Betsy.
We love each other a lot.
We do. We do. We adore one another.
Yeah. Y'all, hopefully, and this is an interesting thing that I am slowly realizing. I think about, everybody knows Lori.
Yeah.
Because there was a season when, I mean, really, you brought women's ministry to Sagemont back in the day with, you brought Precept to Sagemont back in the day, and you had Priority Ministries. You were teaching, you were producing Bible studies, doing all the stuff. And over the last few years, you took on grandma role.
Yeah.
What do they call you?
They call me grandmother.
Grandmother.
One of them calls me Mammo, which I love.
She's growing up
and now calling me grandmother, and it makes me sad. Mammo's on her tongue
gone.
Anymore.
But grandmother, I love that.
It's just what I call my grandmother.
Yes.
So.
And so you really took that role on, and also caring for your parents and moving them down, and your mom's here. And and so it's interesting now because when I talk to women, I'm like, well, Lori Cole, and they're like,
who's
Lori? And I'm like, oh, no, we're doing a disservice to the women of the church. They don't know Lori. But you will claim 100% your sweet Bill Cole.
Oh, yeah.
On the stage, y'all.
He's wonderful.
Our worship executive director, the guy that leads us
everybody
in
knows
worship.
Bill, and if I have to introduce myself to somebody around Sagemont, I tell them, I'm Bill's wife. You're Bill's wife, you know.
Yes.
So, anyway.
Huge. Listen, if you ever get a chance to hang out with Lori or Bill, or better yet, them together, do that.
It's awesome.
Y'all have an amazing legacy with the Lord, and you have both been so willing to share that with people.
Thank you.
Just adore that. And you and I, very quickly, right after I came on staff, we started an iConnect, old name of Connect Group.
Oh, that was fun.
It was so fun.
The Renew class.
Renew. We had so much fun. We got to teach.
We had a great time, and it was all ages, all different kinds of women.
It was so fun.
And it was really wonderful. And this is what I learned about Betsy during that time. I did not know. I just didn't. I thought you've always been a great leader of women and you have vision for that and all those kinds of things. She's a great Bible teacher.
Oh, sweet.
And I really enjoyed sitting under your teaching. You know,
listen, it was mutual. It was fun because we were like, we both loved getting to teach, but on the Sundays when we got to listen, we were like, oh, this is.
It was wonderful.
It was real. It was a super fun season of getting to do that together.
Yes.
And we really did get to know each other and build relationships with each other. It was super, super fun.
That class.
But recently, which I guess it's been like 4 years now, it's been a while. But I remember, I think it was at maybe a Christmas party for the staff or something.
Okay.
And you walked in and we were saying hello to each other. And before you left, you said, hey, I need you to come to my house
and have
brunch. I need to talk to you about something.
And you said yes.
I will say, if Lori Cole invites you to do something, you say yes. One, because it's fun. You're going to, especially if it's her house and there's food, you're going to get yummy food. Probably something she canned and made herself, which is lovely. You are. I love it.
I am a homemaker. I don't apologize for it.
But then also, there is reason and purpose behind what you do. And you had me come over and you said, we need to do something for women with discipleship and mentoring.
Been so heavy on my heart for so many years because I read through the Bible and there's Titus 2 and it's specifically to older women saying you need to come alongside a younger woman and mentor her, help her, encourage her in her walk with the Lord and her relationships and all those kinds of things. And it just was feeling heavy on my shoulder. But what I did not know was that you shared that burden. And we found that out when we met together at my house. And it just led to something. And within how many months?
Lori, we're doing it. When? December. We started in April.
Yes.
Before that, we started
doing these meetings. She got a great team together, and we all came together and began to develop the groundwork for what is now called Beside.
What is now called Beside.
Jason's behind the camera, and his wife, Emily Ryan, was a huge part of that.
Huge.
She was the one who came up with the name, even, Beside.
She did. I vividly remember sitting at my desk on a Wednesday night, and she was standing in my office door, and we were like, it's got to be a good name, and blah, blah, blah. And it just, she said it in passing, and I was like, wait.
Stop.
Back up. What did you just say?
Yeah.
It was a special, very crazy packed few months of getting ready for it. But once we started talking to women, we very quickly realized that women were like, yes, I need someone speaking into my life. And even for our women going, I would love to share what God has done in my life with someone else.
Yes.
And use that for somebody.
It's mentoring and it's discipleship. It's all of those things kind of combined as the two women get together and really pour into one another's lives and begin to help one another as they journey in their walk with the Lord. And it's not a one-way street.
Right.
It's not like a mentor is, you know, not going to get much out of this. For me, I've been shocked, honestly. I mean, I did not expect this to be as great a blessing to me as an older woman as it is to the younger women. Now I'm going to start crying. But it's just huge. It's one of the greatest ministries I've ever been involved with. I thoroughly not just enjoy it, it encourages me in my walk with the Lord much. So anyway.
It's been a huge blessing to Sagemont and to so many women throughout the church. And I will say this just as, you know, a plug, the end of March, March 29th, is our next training day. Mm-hmm. And so if you're listening or watching right now and you're like, hey, I'd love to be a part of Beside, how do I do that? Go online, sign up, register for training day. Mm-hmm. All that does is just sign you up for that day. And then you come and you'll hear from Lori, you'll hear from me. We'll talk about what it actually is you would be saying yes to. Mm-hmm. And then you can decide if you want to apply and be
a part
of it.
You know, that's one of the things I love. Come and find out. Just come find out information at training day. And then we don't push you to make a decision or anything. We'll follow up with an email, isn't that right? Mm-hmm. And say, do you want to get involved? Do you want us to put your name in the hat to become a mentor or a mentee? Mm-hmm. And no pressure.
That's
just
right.
Come find out about it. If you need that, and I would say all of us do need people, examples. Maybe you already have somebody like that, whatever. But come and find out more. And Betsy, thank you so much for getting it off the ground. A burden that I had on my shoulders has just been lifted, and it's been amazing.
It has been really, really sweet. Now, I will also say this. Every person that's applied doesn't always get matched.
Yeah.
Every single match hasn't been sunshine and roses. Mm-hmm. It's still people doing
still
a thing.
Human.
We're still humans. But it's one of those, you're like, don't let those things stop you. I would say even if you're someone that's like, hey, I don't do women anymore. I've been real hurt by women.
Yeah.
Man, don't let the enemy win that, right? We are called to be in community with one another and walk beside each other. And so be willing to take those steps, even when it's scary.
It is. It may be scary, but you know what? That's what faith is all about. It's taking a step into the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I don't know, Lord, but I feel you calling me, drawing me to this. So step out, and God always rewards our faith.
That's right.
Always does.
Absolutely. And like, you know, our mission statement here at Sagemont, helping people take
their
next
step
and
yes,
following Jesus. We want you to take those next steps. And it can be, that next step can look different for each person.
Absolutely.
But there is always a next step.
There is always a next step, and I'm 67. I'm just going to admit it right here, okay? And,
I'm going to be 50 in a couple months.
You're going to be 50. That's huge. That's huge.
I know. It's weird.
I used to think back when I was in my 20s and 30s that you got to a certain age, and you just kind of had it all together.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritually, whatever, What an idiotic thought that I had, because it's not that's just completely not true. He is refining us and
that's
making
us
more like Christ every year of our lives.
That's right.
And it's a wonderful journey.
There's always a next step.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lori, I wanted you to come today, one, because besides coming up, and we wanted to talk about it because we love it so much.
Yeah.
We're passionate about it. But also, we call Beside a mentoring ministry.
Yes.
And there is mentoring, but of course, there's also discipleship.
Absolutely.
They're two different things. Mm-hmm. But in beside, we do both.
Yes.
We both are required, mm-hmm. are part of that journey. Talk a little bit just about maybe what those differences are to you. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to jump into just a bunch about discipleship.
Yeah. Well, mentoring is more about a relationship and growing and learning from that mentor. According to Titus 2, it is more about this older woman encouraging you in your faith, walking beside you and all that. That is not exactly discipleship, but what we do and beside is we have lots of other opportunities to get into God's Word, to read a book together, to encourage each other in the Word, mm-hmm. to help if you're a mentor. You need to know your Bible, okay? You need to know, how the things that God wants us to do as women, and you especially need to be able to help your mentee, with Scripture and things like that, to be able to give her those kinds of things and to direct her to that. We try to do that every time I meet mm-hmm. with mine, just, to it, because this is really what matters. It's not my opinion. It's not,
right.
Even my experiences, things that I've gone through or whatever that I want to pass on and I want to encourage them through. This is the truth. And so we use this. And a lot of the mentors and mentees do Bible studies together mm-hmm. in lots of different ways that we disciple through mm-hmm. the mentoring process and
Absolutely. So talk a little bit about just what is discipleship?
Yeah.
When we use that word a lot. We say it all the time.
Yeah.
What really is it?
Well, I love Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a Lutheran pastor and theologian back during the Second World War. He wrote a book before he was martyred by the Nazis, honestly. Mm-hmm. And he says, and I wrote this down, he describes it as a journey. And I like that. It's a journey, and there's no end until we see him face to face. And only Jesus Christ, who bids us follow him, knows the journey's end. I would have never imagined the way God led my life. I have the perspective looking back now and seeing how it started and now where I am. This would have never been my map. It just wouldn't have.
Yes.
But it's been beautiful to let the Lord lead this journey. And that's following Christ through all the seasons of your life, growing in Christ, becoming more like Christ. That is what discipleship is all about.
I love that. I was meeting with a group of ladies last week, and one of them said, she's in her 40s, and she said, 20-year-old me would never have guessed that I'd be where I am in my walk with the Lord now.
Yeah.
And I was like, that gives me goosebumps. And I'm like, okay, I hope 70-year-old me can look back at 50-year-old me and go, look at the growth.
Yeah.
Look at what we did. And we also, it doesn't just happen.
Mm-mm.
There is action that is taken to follow, to learn, to grow.
Yeah. I think the very first disciples, Jesus' disciples, had been disciples of John the Baptist. And when John saw Jesus walking and they were all there, he said, he's the one I've been telling y'all about. Mm. He's the Messiah. There goes the Messiah. And they took off, those two, and followed him. And Jesus looked back at them and he said, what's going on? Why are you doing this? And they asked him, I think, where are you staying?
Uh-huh.
And then he said this, come and see.
Mm.
And that's what he does.
Yeah.
He says, just follow me and I'm going to show you something. And I'm going to help you grow in this area of your life. Or I'm going to show you something that, I would have never imagined, that I traveled all those years, that I spoke in big churches and small churches and everything in between. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge introvert. I'm a homebody to the max. And I never thought I could do it. But I said yes years ago. And I just can't even hardly believe. Just the Lord, listen, he will lead. Your journey will be different. Your journey's different than mine.
Absolutely.
And the thing we have in common, though, as women who are following Christ and as disciples, is that our journey began at the same place. Mm. Because you can't become a disciple until first you become a Christian.
Amen.
Yep. And I became a Christian as a little girl, as like 6 years old, grew up in a wonderful Christian home, had wonderful examples, grew up going to church, grew up going to church camps, grew up helping my mom and our church with VBS and all those kinds of things. But in the first couple of years of our marriage, I mean, I know I was a Christian back there, and I was hearing great teaching, great Bible preaching, as about as mature as anybody could be as a kid and as a teenager in the things of the Lord. But when Bill and I hit our second year of marriage, he had been telling me after we got married that he really wasn't sure if he was saved. And that was not what I wanted to hear.
No, right.
And it eventually began to make me spiral in my feelings toward him, and he was so insecure in it. Mm-hmm. And one day the word divorce blew out of my mouth, and I couldn't believe it. And I could see him just get shocked. And as he left the room, I just fell on my knees before the Lord, and I said, Lord, it's all coming apart. Yeah. I don't know what to do. And the Lord assured me, you've come to the right place. Now, I'm going to give you a new start, basically. And what he did was, the very next morning, I cried and repented and all that the night before. And the next morning, I woke up and I was hungry. But, Betsy, I didn't want biscuits. Okay? I didn't. That's what I love, biscuits for breakfast. I wanted this. Mm-hmm. And I had kind of lost my hunger for the Lord through the years. And I got in, and I didn't even know where to begin. And I started in Matthew. I felt like that's what the Holy Spirit was prompting me. And I got to know Jesus all over again in a very personal way. As the Holy Spirit just tutored me through the Gospels and then through the rest of the New Testament and changed my life. It just changed my life. And about a year and a half later, guess who got saved?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You know what, girls? I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes we have to get right before our husband can get right. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Lord humbled me with. There's a wonderful verse in Deuteronomy 8:3. It says, and God is talking about the nation of Israel, and he humbled you, and he let you be hungry. And then he fed you with manna that you did not know, nor did your fathers know, so that you would know. Man cannot live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that is spoken from the Lord. And so that's what God did. He just taught me to live by the word and trusted him with Bill. And it was wonderful. And it was just the beginning in a sense of my discipleship journey.
And I love that. I think because that is, we have to take your next step, you have to start.
Yes.
Right. And it's that salvation. And if you're listening or watching and you're like, I don't know, maybe you feel like Bill, did and was like, I don't know. I'm nervous to go to sleep at night. Yeah. I don't know what would happen if I didn't wake up, where I would be. Don't wait another second wondering about that.
That's right.
Ask someone, come to church, talk to us, find someone, or just grab your Bible and start reading and ask the Lord to show you.
Yeah.
And he can do that. You don't need another person to get your salvation set with the Lord. But of course we are here to walk alongside you and do that. Mm-hmm. And you've mentioned a couple of times already, scripture has a lot to say about discipleship and what we're called to do.
Yes.
Yeah. And, it's very clear in a lot of ways when it's talking about what does God's word tell us about discipleship? Because it's not really optional.
No.
Once we take that step and we're sealed believers, discipleship isn't really optional when we really look at scripture.
No, it's not, but it's a choice we have to make because, you look, and this, I hate to even bring this up, but you look in 1 Corinthians 3 and you see Paul talking to a bunch of people who have known the Lord for a long time, and he says, you're still babies.
Right.
You're still living like someone who's not even saved.
Mm-hmm.
You're still behaving in the church. You're fussing, you're fighting, there's all kinds of division. And he said, you're carnal is a word he used, which means fleshy, which means you're still letting your flesh instead of the Holy Spirit lead you. So those people had not chosen to follow Christ as disciples. They'd been saved, but they were still spiritual babies. I'm telling you what, I don't want to be one of those people.
That's right.
And we've all been around some of those people.
Sure.
And it shows. It shows.
Sure.
And so, anyway, one of my things that I love about the scriptures, there's a couple of them that I'm just going to share with you. And I've got everything written down here because my Bible is not a large print today. Okay? My eyes are not going to be able to read that. But 2 Peter 3:18, I love this. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Mm. It's growing in grace and our character and our life to be like Christ. And growing in knowledge that I've got to, you never get to the point where you've learned everything in this either, have you?
Nope.
You have any favorite discipleship kind of scriptures?
You know, I was thinking about in Matthew, and I'm not going to remember exactly where it is, when it just talks about love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and love others more than yourself.
Yes.
And that is just, if we are actually walking that verse out, then we're thinking of others.
Yes.
And we're loving him with all that we are. Mm-hmm. And then thinking of others and sharing that with him.
Yes. Yeah. I love that too. That's the greatest commandment, you know, and the second greatest to love others. I love what Jesus said about discipleship too, you know, and he was calling those 12 and all that and the gospels before he went to the cross. He had some really high, it was like The Cost of Discipleship, which was, of course, Dietrich Bonhoeffer's most famous book before he was a martyr. And let me just read a few of these. You mind if I just read a few of these?
No, please do.
Because it does, it's a high call. It's a high call. And it says here that in Luke 9, 23 and 24, it says, Jesus was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. If you want to become a disciple, he says, if you want to follow me, you have to deny yourself, okay? You have to say, I'm not in first place. I'm not in the driver's seat. Jesus, you are, and you're going to drive this car, and I'm going to go where you lead me, and I'm going to say the things you want me to say. I'm going to do the things you want me to do. And he says, for whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. Whew, that's a high call. Not a casual call.
That's right.
Becoming a casual Christian or a carnal Christian. But we see Jesus' call to discipleship requires self-denial and submitting to his leadership in our lives that, you know, that we're no longer, like I said. Then the other one he says in Luke is, he says, if anybody comes to me, this was shocking to me. I remember, you know, seeing this many, many years ago. If anybody comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot become my disciple. And I've studied that, and you have too, I'm sure. Yeah. And so what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, it means compared to our love for our spouse, for our kids, for our grandkids, for our parents, in comparison to the love for them, there's no comparison between how much we love Jesus.
That's right.
He always gets first place, even above our family members. He is the priority.
And I love that he was so very clear, like super clear,
crystal,
with this, because he knew how difficult this was going to be.
Yes.
Because we do, I mean,
I think especially for women,
yes,
too, because we're
all about relationships.
Care
of everybody and make sure. And so you're thinking about others and all of that, and that priority can get out of whack before you sometimes even realize
it's
out.
Yes, it sure can.
And so you go, gosh, why so straightforward? He knew we needed it.
Yes,
he knew
did.
We needed, hey, there's no gray in this.
Yes.
I am your top.
I'm the number one.
Yes.
And over all else.
Yeah.
And then, so that is supreme love for him, like you said a while ago in the verse that you were quoting, that we're to love the Lord God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength.
Yep.
And then Luke 14:33, he says, none of you can be my disciples who does not give up everything you have, all your possessions. Does that mean I need to take everything to Goodwill tomorrow?
Right.
Okay, or down here to the Sagemont Helping Hands?
Yeah.
No, not necessarily at all. But it means that my possessions are, if the Lord says, I want that, he wants to get into my checkbook, if he wants me to donate, if he wants me, whatever he wants me, everything I have is his. I'm just a steward of it. And I have given all my possessions. I'm not earthbound and I'm not bound at all to the things that I have. He is primary, and everything I have belongs to
him. That's right. It totally shifts your mindset when you start looking at everything that you have is going, these are from the Lord.
Yes.
And they are for the Lord.
That's right.
And it's when we stop, you know, even coming to church and saying, my classroom, chair, my parking spot, you know, those kinds of things. And we do it so quickly and not out of, listen, there is benefit in owning and going, hey, this is a priority for me. This is important for me. I'm investing here. That's a really good thing. It's that balance of when it tips the wrong way.
Well, you know, you think about there were some disciple wannabes who came to Jesus and they wanted to follow him. And they had all these excuses. You remember the guy they call the rich young ruler? And he said, man, I want to follow you. I've heard all about you. I'm ready to go. And what did Jesus tell him? Well, first go home and sell everything that you have.
That's right.
And then he left.
Yep.
And he was sorrowful because he was very rich. And then the disciples, he told them, you know, it's harder for someone who's rich, it's like threading a camel, you know, through a needle or whatever. You know, I can't remember exactly the exact words. But those who are rich, you know, in America, we're all pretty rich.
We are.
We really are.
Absolutely. Really are. Absolutely. This next question that you had, we were talking earlier, and I loved this so much, is how can I know if I'm a disciple? How mm-hmm. can I know if I'm looking at it and going, I want that in my life? Mm-hmm. What are markers? What are some things that I can look at and say, so I don't have to question all the time and worry and wonder.
And so you can see progress and you can see, you know, in a sense, okay, I can look back now and I can say that from that time that I got on my knees before God, that night our marriage was falling apart and all that, I can see the progress.
Right.
And then how did I get here? Okay, and I'm a long way from having arrived. Paul even said that in Philippians, mm-hmm. didn't he? He said, not that I have apprehended it yet, but I press on.
That's right.
And that's what we do.
Yeah.
But I would say this, that just before I throw out all these other scriptures and things, is that discipleship is a process. It's little by little by little by little, mm-hmm. okay? You can't just, you know, you can't mature like overnight. Now you can. I've seen incredible things happen. I don't know, and I wouldn't say. I hate to bring this up in a way, but it's an example that's been shocking to me. Honestly, a recent example that I've seen on social media. Have you ever seen any of the Russell Brand videos?
I know who he is.
Okay, so Russell Brand was a comedian. He was an actor. He's mm-hmm. English. He was a profane, lost guy. I mean, really wild, crazy. He was addicted to drugs, all kinds of stuff. I'd only seen him a couple of times. I really didn't know. Mm-hmm. But I started, his video started showing up my feed. And I was like, what is this? Well, months ago, I don't know, several, maybe even a year ago, he became a Christian. Mm. And all he talks about now is Jesus.
Wow.
And all he reads these days is the Bible. And I'm like, whoa, it's huge. It's just huge. The big 180 that he has done. Mm-hmm. And the Lord can do that
absolutely.
In people's life.
Yep.
For me, it was more gradual. But I would just say these are some of the signs and some of the marks that Jesus says that you will see in your life if you are a disciple. And these are some of the things that will help you say, okay, then I need to do this.
Right.
Okay, I need
mm-hmm.
to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus said, and he was saying to those who had believed in him, this is John chapter 8. It's one of the most famous verses in all of Christendom, I think. Everybody knows this, and you hear people throw it around pretty lightly, I think, even in the world today. Jesus was saying to those who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, if you remain, you stay in my word, and you're obeying my word, he says, then you are truly disciples of mine, okay? Mm-hmm. So one of the marks of a Christian is that, listen, I don't read God's word every single solitary day. I'm going to admit that to you. I mm-hmm. have little kids that show up at my house early in the morning, and I'm not a morning person. And sometimes I'll read it at night or whatever. And there are days when it's just crazy mm-hmm. and I don't. But consistently through my life, do I stay in the word? Yes, mm-hmm. I do. Yes, mm-hmm. I do. And he says, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will do something to you. It makes you free. It frees you when you know the truth to be able to be unbound from your flesh mm-hmm. who's saying, say this, say that,
mm-hmm.
you shouldn't do that. You know, when you know the truth, it'll set you free from yourself and from your own selfishness. And so I love this, that disciples will know and obey God's word is what Jesus mm-hmm. says. You'll continue in the word and that you'll be free from your sinful nature. You'll know the truth and the truth will make you mm-hmm. free.
I mean,
you've seen that, haven't you?
Sure.
Yeah,
and I think there is those times when we go through seasons of maybe something's been going wrong in your family, you're having issues, and you look at your Bible and go, I just don't want to.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because you're like, I know the conviction that's going to come, mm-hmm. or I'm upset with the Lord, and so it's hard to mm-hmm. do that. But then that mark of a disciple mm-hmm. is picking it up anyway.
Picking it back up again. And don't you find sometimes when you are, I can think of so many times in my life, and even last fall when my dad was in the hospital mm-hmm. right before he died and all that, I mean, I was at the hospital. I brought my Bible with me. I might have read a few verses a little bit. I don't even remember. Right. That's a huge blur for me.
Yeah.
But he brought his word to my mind.
That's right.
Because when you stay in it consistently, he'll speak to you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a lifesaver, you know, to you.
Yes.
It's just amazing.
Yeah.
One of the other marks that Jesus said is in Acts 1:8, he's speaking to the disciples before he ascends. Okay, so he's speaking to disciples. He's not speaking to those who are not Christians, who are not followers. He says, you're going to receive some power, okay? You're going to hour's coming to you, okay? Mm-hmm. And he told them in the upper room, I'm not going to leave you alone as orphans. I'm going to come to you. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And he mm-hmm. will remind you of the things that I've said, and he will teach you, and he will give you the power to live the life mm-hmm. that I've called you to. And Jesus says to them at this time, he's reminding them, you're going to fix and receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and even to the uttermost, the remotest part of the earth. And so this is the power source we have within us mm-hmm. that at salvation we received, right. okay? It's yep. not something we have to work up. Holy right. Spirit, mm-hmm. fill me, you know. It's there. Mm-hmm. Now, there are many feelings, I believe, okay? But there was one baptism, and it was at salvation when Jesus, his Holy Spirit moved mm-hmm. into my heart, and he empowers us. He leads us. He brings things to our mind and reminds us that's of right. what we've read and what we've learned and mm-hmm. and guides us. And so what we see there is that the Holy Spirit is going to lead a disciple. We're going to be able to mm-hmm. trust him to give us the power to take those little steps that we're so fearful to do,
yeah.
okay, that we say. I remember many years ago, I had a lady here at the church who I didn't really know well. She was leading Bible studies, and they had run out of Bible studies. They had just done all the Beth Moore Bible studies, and she asked me to lunch, and that was my first time I really met her that I can recall, and she said, I'm going to invite you to pray about writing a Bible study for our Bible study group. And I thought, I'm not a writer. Okay, Jason, who's there, his wife, yeah. Emily.
Emily's a writer.
She's a yeah. writer. And the Lord just gave me the power to do that mm-hmm. through the Holy Spirit, because I've never done anything like that before.
Right.
He can do anything. Girls, listen, he can take us and do anything with us, yep. okay, if we'll just take that step.
Yeah.
And then he talks about prayer is a mark of mm-hmm. a person who's mm-hmm. a disciple. And Jesus says that he basically teaches that disciples pray at all time. Does that mean I stay up all day long? No, it just means that it's an ongoing conversation that I have with the Lord. And Jesus told them a parable to show them that at all times they ought to pray. At all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that is the illustration of that widow and the unjust judge. She just didn't quit. She just didn't stop asking. And finally, mm-hmm. you know, she got what she asked yeah. for. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
So
I love that. Even the talking about the Holy Spirit and that we've been given that gift.
Yes.
And then with the Holy Spirit comes the fruit of the Spirit,
mm-hmm.
right? So the joy, peace, patience,
yes.
kindness. And those, I think, are also marks.
Absolutely.
Because if we're seeing the fruit of the Spirit
yes.
coming out of us,
yes.
then we're able to go,
huge.
I mean, that's huge.
This is huge.
And it's in those moments when it's difficult mm-hmm. to be patient, mm-hmm. when it's difficult to choose
to keep
joy,
your mouth shut.
When it's
is it ever
self-control, all those things, right? There's a whole list of the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And man, we look at those, but I think when we get to see those mm-hmm. coming out of us.
And we know it's not us.
It's not us. Mm-hmm. And then you're able to go, Lord, thank
you. Did this, and
yes.
you can help me. You can help me have the relationship that I want to have with my friends, with my family, with my husband, with mm-hmm. my kids. I've said this before a lot of times, and it's the truth, and I'm kind of embarrassed to share it, but it's just the truth. If there's one thing, you can hear the still small voice of the Lord, the Holy Spirit speak to you. The one thing that the Holy Spirit repeatedly says to me is this, don't say it. It's don't say it, okay? It's not, I love you, okay? It's don't say it. To pull back, to listen more,
mm-hmm.
to not be so quick or to respond and to respond in a spirit maybe that you don't have.
I think that's in Scripture, too.
I think it is in Scripture.
Be slow to speak. Yeah.
Well, and what you just said about the fruit of the Spirit, mm-hmm. that Galatians 5:22 and 23 passage, Jesus said, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit. Fruit,
right.
okay, and this is spiritual fruit, and you prove to be my disciple. So I would just ask those who are watching, is your life bearing fruit?
Right.
Can you see these qualities that are listed in Galatians mm-hmm. 5, that the fruit of the Spirit's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, godliness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, mm-hmm. and do you see yourself growing in that, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not there yet on all of those things.
Some days I am, and other days I'm not. And so it really, you know,
so
it's
true.
What I am continuing
so true.
To grow in that
but you
process.
See, you see it, and I see it in you, Betsy.
Yeah.
You know, and here's the thing. Others see it, too.
Yeah.
Others see it, too.
And, y'all, this is the beauty of discipleship and mentoring.
Yes.
Because you can have someone from the outside look at you and go, No, I see joy in you.
Yes.
When you feel like, where is my joy?
Yes.
Someone else can go, no, let me tell you where I see it. Mm-hmm. Let me remind you.
Yes.
We so often need other people to remind us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When we're struggling.
Yeah. I couldn't agree anymore. And so those are the ways that we show that we're disciples, that we prove that we're disciples and we're to continue to grow. And then the last one that Jesus talked about, at least, you know, as far as my little list here, is John 13:34-35. And he's speaking to the disciples again in the upper room. He's preparing them for his arrest later on that night and for his crucifixion that's just quickly coming. And he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. How? He says, even as I have loved you. That's sacrificial love. Mm-hmm. That's sacrificial love, that you are to love one another. And by this, all men will know you're my disciple, is if you have love for one another. Mm-hmm. And you know what I love? I love Sagemont. Mm-hmm. I've always loved Sagemont. We've been here for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. But I think every year our church grows more loving.
Yeah.
Grows more loving. And I see that at church, but I also see it in the lives of individual church members, and I hope they see it in myself, just a real growth to welcome people, to love people, to pray with people, to serve the Lord, because it's an outgrowth of, as a disciple of the Holy Spirit, and into this love, this unconditional love that we're to have for one another, and to say, and you remember, he's there in John 13. What does he have wrapped around his waist? Yeah. He has a towel. Because how did he greet them at the door?
That's right.
Washing. He greeted them at the door, washing their feet, were like, oh, I don't know about this.
Right.
It's servanthood. Mm-hmm. It is sacrificial love. And that's a mark of a disciple. And this is how the outside world will see that we really are Christ
followers.
It's
so cool. We had a story a couple weeks ago at church where a man came to visit Sagemont for the first time, was greeted in the parking lot by one of our first time guest people in the parking lot. And he said, hey, what brought you to Sagemont today? Yeah. He said, that big cross.
Wow.
He said, I've been driving by and seeing that big cross. He goes, and I want to see if this church has as big a love for Jesus and for others as big as that cross is.
That's
you kind of go, wow, that is huge. And thank goodness this sweet man, I don't know his name, that came to visit after that, went on to either the Facebook page or somewhere and wrote and said, I came looking to see if the love of the Lord was as big inside the church as the crosses out front. Yeah. And he said, I can tell you it is.
Praise the Lord.
It was a huge encouragement, you know, when people, we love when you share your stories. It's a huge encouragement to us, to the body, because that wasn't just the staff. That's not just Levi. That's the body
of Christ.
The people
sitting around, you know.
Yes.
I'll tell you something else that I love about the Holy Spirit as far as that goes, because I am naturally, you know, just as an introvert, you don't have to live the life of an introvert. The Holy Spirit can help you greet people.
Yes.
And say, hey, I'm Laurie Cole. I'm so glad. I don't think I've ever met you before, you know, and just engage with people, because every Sunday I see people that I've never seen before.
Absolutely.
Our church is growing now, but I would also just put this little asterisk down here. Sagemont's not perfect, okay? It's got a lot of imperfect people in it, and I'm one of them.
Me too.
All right. So,
it's
not a perfect church. You're not going to always agree. You're not going to always see, you know, perfection at all.
Absolutely.
But if you look at that cross, it'll never let you down.
That's right.
It'll never let you down.
That's right. I love that so much. So then we've talked about what is a disciple and what does God's word say about a disciple? How do we know if we are? And really just all boils down to, why did Jesus tell us to? Why did he call us to this?
Purpose.
Like, what is the purpose behind that?
Yeah. Well, there's it's probably an endless list.
Right.
I can think of a few that it's so that we will grow in Christ-likeness, that we would follow him. And as a disciple, we would get into his word. We would spend time with him in prayer. We would be growing in our faith and the spiritual fruit in our lives and all those kinds of things, and loving others. But it is so that we would become more like Christ. Mm-hmm. I want people to see Christ in me.
Me too.
And Betsy, I know you do.
Absolutely.
And as disciples, that's what he calls us to do, to reflect him in everything we do and say and everywhere we go and all that.
Right.
And so it's to become more like Christ so that we can be a witness to our culture, okay, to our kids, to our grandkids, so they can see it. And I had two wonderful Christian parents, grew up just fantastic. They're the most opposite people, most opposite couple ever. They discipled us in a sense just by showing us the right. basics, by leading us in the ways of the childlike steps of faith and things like that. They were not perfect, but they reflected Jesus, okay, mm-hmm. in the way that they loved us yep. and the way they treated us, even when they disciplined us. It Absolutely. Was, you know, it was usually yes. very loving. I will say sometimes my daddy would go like that. You know, he put his tail, he would get angry and all that, but, you know, so he's not perfect. But it was wonderful to see and yeah. to see the Christ-like character in their life. It, for me, was a huge example. Mm-hmm. I'm sure yeah. you're probably the same way.
Yeah.
We're also, the purpose of it is for the Great Commission. Like he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, okay, to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've taught you, okay, mm-hmm. and so that I've commanded you. And so it's to fulfill that Great Commission that Jesus left us with to go
That's right.
and to make disciples. You cannot make disciples until you are a disciple, okay?
I love that.
You remain in this carnal state that Paul talks about in 1 mm-hmm. Corinthians 3. And there's, I think it's Hebrews 4, where whoever wrote Hebrews, we don't know who wrote Hebrews,
right.
do we? Said, you know, by this time in your walk, you should be teaching others. And I'm not talking about you have to have a class or anything, but you should be able to disciple people, mm-hmm. Be a mentor and beside and be able mm-hmm. to help them navigate their lives scripturally and things. But he says, I can't even give you meat spiritually. You're still on milk. You're mm-hmm. you're still a baby. And those people are, you know, listen,
right.
you've got to get on the road to discipleship
That's right.
so that you can fulfill these the purpose for it. And then I love, this is the one for me that motivates me more than any of the other ones. Well done. I want to hear the Lord say to me when I stand before him, well done, my good and faithful servant, mm-hmm. okay? And that drives me on. I've said this before, too. My grandmother died a couple of 3 years ago, and she got up to 104. Oh, my word. And those last 15 years or so, one of the repeated phrases she would say was this, why am I still here?
Mm.
Why am I still here? Because she was suffering, and she was
right.
deaf, and it was hard. As long as you're here, you have a purpose,
That's right.
okay? You have a purpose. And the well done, looking forward to that, gives me purpose in my life. Mm. What can I do today? Who can I pray for? Who can I encourage? How can I reflect Christ? And, you know, how can I follow the Holy Spirit today on
Absolutely.
This journey of discipleship, mm. even if I'm in a bed
yeah.
in a nursing home, okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it gives purpose to your life, and it gives a goal to your life. Mm-hmm. Well done.
Well done.
I don't need one of those little cups, or a plaque or anything.
Right.
But I want a well done,
a well done.
And I know you did too.
Amen. Yes, for sure. And y'all, as we're sitting here talking about this, you know, think about, okay, what are good next steps? What are, mm-hmm. okay, you've heard this, you're encouraged, you're ready to go. What do you do? And, you know, we very much are like, hey, come to worship, come to
yes.
a connect group, sign up for Beside, join a Bible study, come on Wednesday night. There's all those things here at the church that are easy first next steps
mm-hmm.
for you. You will be welcomed, you will be loved, you will be encouraged. But man, read your Bible.
Yes.
Stop and pray.
Yes.
Spend time sitting with the Lord. That's the best next step.
Yes.
That you can take in your walk as a disciple with the Lord
mm-hmm.
is get to know him. I mean, just open God's mm-hmm. word.
Yeah.
And start learning who he is and his character. And, mm-hmm. you know, so often we open God's word and we go, Lord, I need this from you from here. But man, mm-hmm. if we change it and go, Lord, show me who you are.
Yes.
Every time I open
yes.
the
show
word.
Show me who you are. Show me.
Yes.
How to apply this to my life.
Yeah.
And we have the Holy Spirit in us. It says mm-hmm. he teaches us. He trains us. He's
yeah.
our divine tutor.
That's right.
So it's amazing. You know, you see things and he sheds light on it. He says, go back. You feel him lead you. Go back and read that again.
Right.
So many times.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, my word.
My quiet time can be half a verse some days. You know, I mean, it can
yes.
be he stops you
yes.
on a word.
Yes.
And that's where you're spending time.
Yes.
And one thing that we were talking about earlier is, you know, my salvation happened as a young child, was blessed to grow up in a Christian home and got to mm-hmm. see that. But really, it wasn't until I was in college that I started going, oh, I need to read the word and not just let other people tell me what it says. I need to get to know who Christ is through his word and through prayer. And I felt behind the curve. Mm-hmm. And I think so often women here at Sagemont and probably all over the place hear you talking or us talking and go, oh, I should be eating meat and not drinking milk. Yeah. And what do I do? And now I'm behind the curve. And how do I get going? Yeah. And that's when those next steps are so important. But then also come beside someone mm-hmm. and we want to help you encourage be able you. To grow. Encourage you're, it's never too late.
Yeah.
You're mm-hmm. God wants you to grow mm-hmm. and be Amen. Able to do that.
Amen.
So
if you've taken the first step following Jesus in salvation.
Yep.
Take the next step.
Take
okay?
the next one.
And we'll put baptism in there too, okay? Because we believe Jesus was baptized and it's a priority for him for us to decide.
Right.
But discipleship, become a disciple, follow him. There's so many ways to become a disciple around, take that next step.
Absolutely.
At Sagemont. I'm so grateful for all the women's ministry, the men's mm-hmm. ministry, all the
so
different opportunities for us to gather together, to study God's word together and to grow. And Bible studies have played a huge, huge role in my discipleship process.
Absolutely.
And we have so many good ones here at Sagemont.
Lots of good ways. Lots of good ways.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for always being willing to come and share. And you have so much wisdom and a sweetheart and are someone that I am able to look up to and say to be real, to be honest, to be vulnerable makes
Thank
a huge impact in other women being willing to do the same thing.
And I feel the same way about her.
Well,
she's kind of amazing. If you haven't gotten to know Betsy, you need to get
come
to know
Betsy. I'd love it.
Come to, listen, we'll be in a group of us. We'll be getting together. What day is it?
Training
Saturday,
days.
March the 29th.
Yep, Saturday, March
29th. And we'll be there. We would love
we'll
to meet
there.
You there and get to know you and sit at the table with you and just visit. It's
come
not just
out.
Sitting in rows and Mm-mm. taking notes. It's really fun.
Sitting together,
really
have a little
fun.
Breakfast, hang out, spend some time. You can go online, go to events, scroll down, find Beside. You can register. It's $15. That includes all your materials, food. Coffee.
Yeah.
I don't drink coffee, but people like it, so we have
Do you have
it.
Biscuits?
You know biscuits. What? I haven't planned the food yet, but we might have to have biscuits for Lori.
Oh, man.
Y'all, if you listen, show up, you might get some biscuits.
Okay.
But thank you.
My
I appreciate
joy.
You
I love
being
you.
Here.
I love
thank
you.
Y'all for hanging out with us on Table Talk. Mm-hmm. These come out Thursday at noon. You can go back and watch some. We have a special Easter series coming up in April with a lot of our lead staff, pastoral staff, and so you're going to hear from them as we look at some fun aspects of Easter. So come back, hang out with us on Table Talk. We will see you next time.
Bye.